In the recent weeks, Africa and the world at large have been enthralled to a classical show of sportsmanship like no other through the just-concluded Africa Cup of Nations. From the majestic rise and fall of the Bafana Bafana, South Africa's national team, to the grace-to-grass story of the Nigerian Super Eagles, and the trumpeting victory of the Iberian Elephants at the finals, the AFCON has truly entered the realm of the fabulous that we shall focus elsewhere, outside the pitch. In this podcast, we focus quite outside the pomp and the fanfare that characterized the AFCON competition, and that is to the COMESA Competition Commission, which fined the CAF, the Confederation Africaine du Football, the organizer of the AFCON competition, and Bain Media Group, $300,000 each, for engaging in anti-competitive business practices contrary to Article 16.1 of the COMESA Competition Regulations. Welcome to today's episode of CDH Conversations, where I'll be speaking on the COMESA competition decision. My name is Kevin Kipchirchir, an associate in the Corporate Commercial, Employment and Competition Department, based out of Nairobi. And today I am joined by Lemi Ndirangu, similarly an associate in the Corporate Commercial, Employment and Competition Department, and based out of Nairobi as well. Welcome, Lemi. So perhaps to dive right in, could you just please tell us about these Article 16.1 of the COMESA competition regulations?
Certainly. Thanks, Kevin, for that introduction, as well as a good contextualization of today's discussion. So to begin with, Article 16 of the COMESA competition regulations is primarily about the restrictive business practices which are prohibited within the common market. And it provides for the following three things. The first one being agreements between undertakings. Secondly, decisions by associations of undertakings. And the third being concerted practices which may affect trade between member states. These concerted practices also have as their object or effect the prevention, restriction, or distortion of competition within the common market.
Thank you, Lemi, for highlighting those three things which Article 16.1 prohibits. And perhaps just to further recap, I note the following three key terms which seem to be doing the heavy lifting in your definition or in your contextualization, Lemi, in Article 16. That is firstly, competition. Secondly, concerted practices. And thirdly, undertaking. Can you shed light on what these terms are or what they mean for the benefit of our listeners?
Certainly. I'll start off with the term competition. And in this case, it means the striving or potential striving of two or more persons or organizations engaged in production, engaged in distribution, supply, purchase, or consumption of goods and services in a given market against one another, which results in greater efficiency, high economic growth, increased employment opportunities, lower prices, and improved choice for consumers. The second term, which you pointed out, is concerted practice, and this means an action planned and done in unison by a firm or combination of firms which is anti-competitive. And lastly, undertaking is defined as any person, public or private, involved in the production of or the trade in goods or the provision of services.
Excellent, Lemi. And I think the proper foundation for chat today, it's almost clear to see how a concerted practice can lead to prohibition of competition. But perhaps please take us through a brief summary of the case that was before the COMESA Competition Commission.
So first and foremost, the matter before the COMESA Competition Commission was in relation to an MOU between Legardeur Sports SAS and Bain Media Group LLC in relation to media rights of competitions organized by the Confederation of African Football. The alleged competition infringements assessed concerns as follows. The first one being the award of media rights to CAF competitions in the absence of an open and competitive tender process. The second one being the long-term duration of contract for the award of media rights of CAF competitions to Bain. And thirdly, the bundle of media rights across platforms, transmission mode, and competitions. The Competition Commission's investigation established that the duration of the 2016 agreement, coupled with the lack of competitive tender processes and the extensive scope of exclusivity granted to Bain, was likely to lead to a significant restriction of competition in the relevant markets in the common market. Therefore, the Competition Commission concluded that certain provisions contained in the agreements between CAF and Bain contravened Article 16.1 of the regulations as the affected trade between the member states and had as their object and effect the restriction of competition in the common market.
Thank you, Lemmy. So just so I can glean what you're talking about, you've mentioned the lack of an open and competitive tender process, the long-term duration of the contracts, and the bundling of media rights in the MOU. So just so I am understanding correctly, the Commercial Competition Commission had to establish certain grounds, certainly to arrive at its determination, which are as follows from my understanding of the case, whether there existed undertakings, whether the existence of an agreement between undertakings. Thirdly, whether the agreement was implemented or was intended to be implemented within the common market. Fourthly, whether the agreement had the object or effect to prevent, restrict, or distort competition within the common market. And lastly, whether the agreement affected trade between member states. Am I right?
Yeah, that's accurate. So as I had mentioned above, an undertaking is defined as a person, and this person may be public or private, and they may also be involved in the production of or the trade in goods or the provision of services. Though the Competition Commission went above to establish that in the context of competition law, an undertaking will encompass every entity engaged in an economic activity, regardless of the legal status of the entity and the way in which it is financed.
Excellent, Lemmy. So having done away, therefore, with the issue of the undertaking, the agreements between undertakings, we can move to consider the twin issues of agreement, firstly, and the implementation or intention for its implementation in the common market. So here, I think we may refer to the Commercial Guidelines on Restrictive Business Practices, which iterates that the defining criterion of an agreement is the existence of a concurrence of wills between parties and the joint intention to conduct themselves on the market in a specific manner. So how then does the Commercial Competition Commission established the implementation or intention for implementation of an agreement in the common market, as that appears to be a very, you know, intention-specific determination?
Okay, so to answer that question, it's important to note that the Competition Commission will approach that question from a three-pronged test in order to establish implementation. The three-step process is as follows. The first one being that the business practice concerning the agreement must have taken place within the common market. The common market are obviously the countries within which COMESA has its jurisdiction. The second one being the agreement must have involved companies established within the common market. And the last test is that they must have targeted customers in the common market.
Excellent, I see. So just to draw back now to this case, what did the COMESA Commission find in this matter?
Firstly, the Commission found that the lack of a transparent tendering process was a violation of the competition regulations, the Commercial Competition Regulations specifically. So the Competition Commission observed that the good corporate governance typically requires that contracts exceeding a certain threshold are awarded through a form of tender process to ensure that the best possible suppliers are chosen. Moreover, the Competition Commission considered that the exclusive nature of the MOU for a long duration indisputably creates a foreclosure situation.
Excellent. So I think that lays the proper foundation for us now to segue to the issue of the duration of the MOUs. And for context, the MOUs in question were signed in 2014 for a period beginning in 2017 and extended by an amendment in 2016 for another four-year period, effectively making the MOUs run from 2017 for a further 12 years, which I think takes us to 2029. Why is this wrong, Lemmy?
So the Competition Commission determined that the grant of exclusive rights over such a long duration effectively forecloses other pay TV broadcasters from the market. In addition to that, that has the effect of reinforcing the market position of Bain Group in the region. Notably, while exclusivity of an agreement is not anti-competitive in and of itself, when combined with the duration of the agreement and the market structure, it is capable of resulting in significant anti-competitive effects, including foreclosure.
Thank you, Lemmy. So, and having discussed the issue of open tendering and the longevity of exclusive agreements, is it time, therefore, to shed light on the scope of exclusivity, as you mentioned it quite a bit?
Certainly. So, for context, the media rights to the pay TV broadcasters cover TV, internet broadband, and mobile transmission. The TV rights are bundled such that live broadcasts, delayed broadcasts, and highlights are all sold as one package. The result of this is the denial of potential rival pay TV broadcasters of the opportunity to acquire only part of those rights, especially for broadcasters who may not necessarily afford to bid for live broadcasts, which are more expensive.
Yeah, and I think, Lemmy, it's interesting that you mentioned that. And I think another concern that probably even our listeners would have following this discussion is effectively there is the fear that a contractor who has been granted a bundle of rights may want to warehouse them. And this is and not fully exercise all the media rights, which wouldn't be the case if many players were allowed to have a bite of the cake. So in light of this, it is not difficult to see how this may affect competition in the common market, having highlighted your previous definition of competition.
Indeed. However, don't forget that there are instances where restrictive practices may be justified in the common market. This is provided in Article 16.4 of the COMESA competition regulations, and it allows for agreements or concerted practices where that particular act, number one, it can contribute to improving the production or distribution of goods. Secondly, the act may also promote technical or economic progress while allowing consumers a fair share of the resulting benefit. So ideally, it's just between those two instances where agreements or concerted practices may not be frowned upon by the COMESA.
Interesting. But however, Lemmy, the acts must be indispensable to the attainment of these objectives, am I right? And they must as well afford such undertakings the possibility of eliminating competition in respect to a substantial market, just as more or less like condition to the exercise of these exceptions. So now, Lemmy, as we draw to a close of the podcast, what would be your advice to undertaking so to our clients wanting to do business in the common market in light of this decision?
Thanks, Kevin. It's amazing how such a decision of monumental impact doesn't get simpler than these four nuggets. The first, number one, procurers of goods and services should comply with open tender processes. Number two, parties to agreements affecting trade in the common market must be keen to ensure that they are not granting any exclusive rights to the detriment of other players. Number three, where exclusive rights are granted, parties must be keen to ensure that the agreements aren't for a long time. And lastly, number four, where the agreements are for a long exclusive period, parties must ensure that they are within the four corners of the Article 16.4 exceptions.
Excellent, Lemmy. Thank you very much. There you have it, folks. The Confederation of African Football and Bain Group have 60 days to appeal this decision before it becomes final and binding. And in case you have any other further questions or queries that you may have regarding competition and COMESA at large and your businesses in COMESA, please feel free to contact the experts at CDH. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.